Welcome everybody to the City of Tupelo Transportation and Infrastructure Services Committee meeting. I'm Tosh Shar, council member, and then I'm joined by my two fellow council members, Kate Kruler and Mohammed Abdi. Today is Monday, October 16th, 2023, and the time is approximately 5:30. We have no formal presentation, so we'll go straight to the business agenda, starting with item A, which is the 2024 Annual Overlay Program Engineering Services Contract Design Consultant Selection and Agreement. After the presentation or the briefing, we will have this, we will be asked to forward this to the 10/23/23 special meeting. So, it's your boss.
Yep. So, I guess if I wanted also to do a quick introduction.
Yeah, let me introduce. David joined us. When did you join us?
5 months ago, May.
5 months ago? Okay. I just remember if it was May or June. But so he's come on board. He's our newest project manager. He's been working with Adib on a lot of the construction projects that he's had underway for some of his water and sewer projects. And now we're finally introducing him to managing some design projects. So he's going to be taking over, hopefully, our overlay program that like Scott Bates used to do on a regular basis. So anyway, I wanted him to come and meet you guys face to face. So
Thank you. So getting to this, like for your approval to send this to consent meeting on the 23rd for the 2024 overlay, choosing KPG for the design services. On the deal, you can see we have budget of 150 and they come in right under that at 149. The neighborhoods we're focused on right now are McMicken and Riverton, and those were chosen based off of the DCI index that was done in 2020, which gives a rating to different roads and neighborhoods, showing where possible improvements or repairs are needed. Do you have any questions?
Sure, we will. Council Member Kruler.
I'm comfortable with the selection that you have here and the price and the contractor. They just look it up and figure out how to fit it in. So good estimating. Something I'd like to just have us have a conversation about how you make your selections and just so we understand the number of systems. So I get lots of comments in different neighborhoods of why not my street yet, why not my street yet. And that's a little responsible logistics. But you don't see me coming in here saying, why don't you do that road? Because I know there's a lot of other folks and utilities and things that you work with to make this happen.
Yeah, we certainly can come back, maybe next year at a transportation and just kind of go through the report that David's familiarizing himself with on that and just re-educate on the whys behind it.
So. Other than that, I'm comfortable with what.
Councilmember Alger.
Yes. Thank you. In terms of the timeline, in terms of the two different projects, can you kind of give me a quick overview of what the time is looking like?
March of 24, go for about 8 months or so.
By 8 months, okay. Mm-hmm. So is it for both? Or?
Yes, they'd be concurrent.
Concurrent, okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah, but I kind of second what Councilor Kula said in terms of I would like to know like the process of how you make the selection, but I agree with on that question. But those are the two questions I have, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. And then as far as the work being done, is it just strictly relaying asphalt over existing asphalt, or is there anything more advanced, sort of like sidewalks or traffic calming improvements, some things like that? So folks in those two neighborhoods would kind of have an idea of what's coming.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So McMicken, you can look at the map there. One of the long stretches, 160th, calls out that there's going to be 3 new curb ramps affected if we have to go to that area. They also have some temporary speed humps out there that could be changed to more permanent asphalt ones. So right now there is, KPG understands that the ADA requirements, and if we go in certain areas that affects that, that will be worked into the budget. So, but right now, yes, it's it's the grant overlay, and if there are any ADA improvements that need to happen around it, that's included too.
Okay.
And just for clarity on this, all of these projects were identified may not necessarily move forward for the actual overlay next year. We'll go through, we'll get to about 50% engineering, we'll look at budget, see once they've had a chance to look at what is needed and make some decisions. So budget is part of the factor on choosing as much as the pavement condition. But at this point, we are not adding in any traffic calming work. Doesn't mean that we won't if something is ready and can go out to bid together. We can pair it at a later date.
Yeah, Council, with staff and KPG during design, we look at all of these things and they'll look at more detail. They'll look at the curbs, they'll look at the sidewalk, they'll look at the conditions they're in. Mm-hmm. So we might be able to fit a few in if it's an opportunity budget. So at this time, we're staying at a high level because we don't know all of the design details yet. Oh,
of course. So in the event that the we want the high-end sidewalks and all that good stuff, that would that be an option, or do we have to ask for that before they consider it? Or do they just say, hey, if you wanted to do every improvement, this is what it's going to cost, and then here's closer to what you guys see as closer to the budget. Is there that conversation? How does it work?
Yeah. So, for example, last year, Allentown, we were doing some improvements, and then we saw that there's that crosswalk, that raised crosswalk. So staff applied for grants. Grant money came right around the same time, so we're able to fit it in, use the same contractor. So the conversations are happening all the time with our staff. It's about the timing and the opportunity. If we can't do it this year, sometimes we do it the year after. But we're constantly looking for those opportunities.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, but completely. If you can find out what sidewalks cost, because folks like sidewalks, but I know you'll do your best.
Yeah.
Councilmember Krull.
On the sidewalks, so there is some weird quote about how many million per how far.
Mm-hmm.
That a current mayor likes the site, which I don't know is true, so I've never responded to it.
And I don't know what Mayor Egberg is citing, but sidewalks get tricky. I mean, they are pretty expensive because we can't just throw them out in a vacuum. We have to factor in the drainage, and is there a drainage system there? And then how do we connect to that drainage? Are there other utilities that we have to factor in? So they can actually get pretty tricky, what looks like just something very simple. So that was a really hard number to...
That's kind of hokey to come up with a number for a mile or
it's
block.
Probably a good number, but they can vary so much. I mean, if the infrastructure is there for the storm drainage and we just simply have to move the inlets, but if there's no sidewalk, that tends to be that there's no curb. And so where is the drainage going? Is it going into an open ditch or is there some piping? Lots of questions have to be asked when it comes to putting in a sidewalk.
Well, then 160, it has a lot of speed bumps, so this doesn't apply here, but on some of these, I've been encouraging that we get extra asphalt and have those put in with the overlay then, because that seems to be the right time to do that.
If we're choosing to put in the permanent speed humps, yes, it's a really good time to do that, and that would be factored into the bid documents and the estimates for how much asphalt is needed and get put into the regular plans.
Okay, so our asphalt's permanent one, so they got this?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes.
Because I've been told that people favored the other ones for some reason in engineering.
Well, when we were first kind of experimenting with them, we got these ones that could be moved or relocated, trial, things like that. And we do still have some, and we certainly can deploy them, but they can be going in a lot quicker than going out and looking at an engineering design and you know, because to buy a truckload of asphalt and to put it in ends up getting kind of expensive. So if we can, like, do it all in one thing, it's a more efficient use of the funding.
Okay. And then somebody asked me on 42nd, wait, I got my wrong, 37th.
Mm-hmm.
Coming from the park.
Yeah, yeah.
North
uh-huh,
and it
uh-huh.
ends up hitting TI. I mean,
yeah, yeah.
You just did a whole overlayment thing, and someone stunned me by saying, are you going to put the speed bumps back in that were there? And I just kind of smiled my way through it because I don't remember speed bumps being there before.
I don't remember.
There's nothing in there now.
I don't remember them. I'd have to go back and look. I don't remember that.
Okay. Somebody was talking about it because we have it further down by, you know.
Yeah.
the Newfers house, et cetera.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't remember it.
Yeah.
I said, it was a funny question. And
this is one on 37th.
Yeah, 37th. So it's pretty much you just did a waited for a water department to do their part. Took quite a while. Mid-October was there. I don't even know if they're totally finished, but it looks this.
TAB, right? 37th and TAB.
Well, it's 37th is north south.
Bartels.
Okay, so it's on the south end, down where you down by the park.
You kind of go down to 140th.
Okay.
Road 1 west of TIB, just parked behind Walgreens.
Yeah.
And then Cascade Park.
Yeah.
Josh was asking the last time.
Yeah.
I'm just down to Speedboat. Might not be a bad idea. I just don't know.
Yeah, we'll get back to
you. Yeah, I'll have to look into that because I don't remember. I mean, I know we did put some in, but I didn't think it was right there.
My brain's not clicking on it either, so you might be right. I just, if there was a thought by all those apartments in that park, it makes sense. I just didn't. I just said, I'll go back and ask.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Just the thing is, when we do work, when the city does work, mm-hmm. the first question residents generally ask is, what about sidewalks? And what about speed cushions or humps or whatever you want to refer to? I know it's cost prohibitive. I get that. It wouldn't be bad just to consider what that cost is so that when a citizen asks, why didn't y'all put them in? We can give them the obvious reason, which is it costs a ton, which people were like, I get it.
Right.
But when you don't even ask in their mind, they have a problem. You understand?
I completely understand.
So like even whether city, when your folks are out there working and they say, why aren't you putting sidewalks? They don't like, well, it wasn't on the work order. They prefer like I would.
Mm-hmm.
It costs a ton.
Yeah.
And this is the reason. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And the overlay program specifically is designed around the overlay of the which is the grind
of course.
Overlay. So pavement. It's rehabilitation. It's
we understand. It's us in this room.
Yeah,
we
understand.
That.
Yeah.
But citizens sitting out there watching that their streets all chewed up and they're like, hey, wait a minute.
No. And I know that our crews are super good at sharing that information and, you know, all of the people I work with are just really amazing and say, look, you know, we get it. We'd love to put it in, but we have our own checkbook we have to live within. And
sure not.
Because we still have checks doesn't mean there's money behind it.
I do have one more question. Down in Allentown, you guys did quite a bit of work. And the streets that are adjacent to the main thoroughfare, so doing 90 degrees to that, you've had some overlayment processes. That it seems like you've been sort of going from the east side to the west. And where you stopped, the next street over, they're all bummed out if you go down it. They've got all cones around the ditches because people fall into the ditches on that road, apparently.
Right. Is that on 124th or that's one of the north-south ones that come in?
North-south ones that you can do an overlayment on.
Okay.
And you've been sort of working from east to west.
Okay.
And I can sure go get the number of the street if you want.
Yeah, I mean, that would be helpful, and we can definitely take a look at it, and you know, we can perhaps look at it.
Obviously, what they're wanting is undergrounding a culvert there, and it didn't happen on the streets where you've done the overlay.
Sure.
And they don't have little orange cones because everyone else at night, it's not very well lit.
Yeah.
Drive into them.
Yeah, exactly. And actually, I think that was probably more some drainage work that was going on out there than the overlay, but they happen very close to each other. So there's a lot of confusion as to who did it. But,
okay.
Yeah, we could take a look at it, and we can also talk to the right people in engineering.
The street they're the only street that's asking about it.
Yeah.
So do we have a consensus on forwarding this to the Benson 323 special meeting? Perfect. All right, going to agenda item B, landslide risk assessment and management phase 1 FEMA cooperating technical partners program grant award.
Hi. So I have the project manager, Sherry, on the line too. So I'll introduce it, and then if we have supplemental questions, we can both tackle those. So I'm asking for council approval to accept a FEMA grant in the amount of $150,000. And consider this item on the consent agenda on the 23rd. So this is to collect some data and inventory on high-risk landslide. So it's just data collection to figure out where where in the city is at risk of a landslide. There is no match for this grant opportunity. We've been meeting with the FEMA representatives to talk through the scope of work a little bit more to figure out what kind of data we'd want to gather, and then hoping that this can provide further opportunity to study other areas of the city. So, if you have any questions?
That's really cool.
Normally, I'd say money in our pocket, but I am going to ask this. Have you thought about putting it into your GIS systems as a place to store the data?
Yeah, and when we met the other day, we had both the GIS field technician and Roman in that meeting, too, to hear what data we may collect and what city or what data the city already has.
And then it's a lot of money, but I don't think it goes very far. So are you going to focus on, like, TIB, where we have lots of landslides with trees falling and stuff, or do you have a target area to assess?
We're going to work with our consultant to use the state landslide data and then go from there and look at those areas and see. And I believe there's some county information as well. So we'll hire a consultant to look into that. And then we hope in the future to apply for a second grant after we get this grant.
It's a great start and money in our pocket.
Council Member Alty.
Yes, I think this is a great grant. You know, I like the fact that it does you guys are doing data collection with the whole situation. There was a situation where there was a smart guy who worked at a auto body hard spot, kind of like not too far from interurban, and those situations. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. And so their worry was that with this unfortunate situation, like they could have landslides, happening over them, they could have died because of that. Yeah. And so I want to bring that up to say I learned a little bit more about how important this is to him and through that situation, and I was trying to help assist that situation with him in the city. There's new people that work there now, and they did get it covered, so I'm sure that they're respecting what the policy and the law is right now. But for quite some time, from the history I know of that place, going there, getting oil change done, and, just supporting my own, there was a long time they didn't have no cover,
Yeah.
And so this is like a matter of life and death, situation. And depending on where you at, there are some very high-risk areas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
So
I was happy to see when I read this in the memo, because, again, it's not something that's often talked about in the city, but it's very important. So I like the fact that this can help support that, help us as a city prevent any future issues and things like that. So I'm in big support of it, and it helps, customer set.
Okay. As far as the locations of potential landslide areas, have they been identified already as throughout the city? Of course, there's this increased study, right?
Right.
But do we have a map that shows that these ones are high, medium, low type thing, or we just have a generic that might have a slide, that one does? Is there a grade as far as that location better or worse than others?
Yeah, we do have, we know our county has maps very clearly. Where the new fire station is behind that there, interurban going down.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fire accident about 2 years ago. One of the apartments burned down. That hill is one of them. And then down TIB near the Homeland Security area on the left side there, but we know areas, but none of them are actively moving, so the slide is not happening right now.
Of course. So as far as when you're direct, because I don't know how far each location will go on 150,000. So, do we know what it costs to do an analysis, the surface analysis on one location, or does it range? Is it vary? I'm sure it varies, but is there a range?
Yeah, this money is not going to be enough to do thorough analysis of all of these sites that we just talked about, but this would be a start. But like I mentioned before, none of these are actively sliding, so they're in the geotechnical report and other things that we have that we're going to consult. We're going to have a consultant map it, and further more grants need to be obtained, and more studies will continue on.
So as far as this 150, how far can you go on one location to study it? Because, I don't know. You'll have to give me an idea. Of course, you're the expert. So would this, on average, get three locations identified? more thoroughly, or is it one? Right. So we know how far the money actually goes.
I may be speaking out of turn. The staff that are closer to the project know more, but I would assume something like this would do a bigger map overall, identify the ranks of higher intensity areas, but Sherry might know.
Yeah, we will be using the state, and we'll also be looking at other critical infrastructures in those landslide locations, utilities, age, condition. So because those potentially, you know, water line breaks like we saw in Bellevue caused a landslide. So looking at all those things. And again, I sought out consultants during the grant funding to get estimates for this cost of work. So I did do, so that's what I based the grant amount on.
Oh, but it doesn't give me an idea how many spots you can look at.
No, I mean, like I think we'll start big and then start going down based on identifying areas that are critical, that have infrastructure, that have other private property, that are in, there will be more property damage in those areas. So we'll identify those as part of this study and then get more funding to zero in on those areas. So this is more like a bigger, big picture one that this was going.
Okay. Do we have consensus to forward this to the 10-23-23 special meeting?
Yes.
All right, good. So bringing us to business agenda item C, the Chinook Wind Extension King County Parks Open Space River Corridors Grant Acceptance, with the, after the briefing, forwarding this to the 11-6-23 regular meeting under new business, please.
Hi. So another grant award acceptance that we're asking council to accept. This is in the amount of $280,000, and this will fund the design for the Chinook Wind Extension Project. This is through given to us through King County Open Space River Corridors. We also have another grant that we've received grants from this in the past. So we have a strong relationship with their granting managers. This does have a 20% local city match, which will come from the project CIP in the amount of $70,000. And again, this is just for the design of that site.
So your extension is just from where they've gone before. They were talking about going further down the trail to match up with the other park on the other side, the Pocket Park. That's
yeah.
it?
Yep.
city match is going to come from where?
The CIP budget.
We're comfortable with that? This room?
Yep.
Okay. I have no questions. I support this.
Something that we're offering.
Yeah, I support this. The only question I have was in the event that, you know, it says out here that, you know, mid-November is when you guys hopefully hear back from, you know, the status of these grants.
Mm-hmm.
In the event that it doesn't work out, what would be the plan?
Then I'll just look for others to fund it.
We'll continue to apply. This is a project of importance for us and also King County. It will be a trail eventually completing all the way to the Wabash Garden. So we'll do it. It's just a matter of getting the grants.
Yeah.
We'll continue to apply.
But feeling pretty hopeful given that we've already been successful.
I said something fast. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, you're
feeling good
about it.
So we feel pretty good about it. And Mike Perfetti is the project manager here, so he helped a lot with that.
That's dope. Fingers crossed. I hope it goes well.
Thank you.
The support.
As far as the missing trail loan, is that just connecting the trail that ends at one spot and ends at the other?
Mm-hmm.
Is there enough funds with this $350,000 to make the connection complete based on an estimate, or is it just going to get us a little bit closer?
You mean for the construction? Like,
yeah.
This is just the design.
This is not what it's going to cost to get us there.
Yeah.
And we have no idea what it would cost to get us there at this point.
To build the whole thing?
Yeah, to connect.
I think there's, in the CIP page on 2026, page 46 shows about $900,000 for construction slated in 2026.
Okay. About $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
All right. All right. Well, I'm good with it.
We have
questions?
Yeah. Are we going to do some synchronization between their design that we get this money for and the work that's going on with the public works people I sat in kayaks with and stared at the ground. So
yeah.
They need to have us design something.
Yeah.
Then they have a different idea on the grade or what materials are going to be out there. And then we have to that the design that Forest Service is.
Yeah, Mike's coordinating with Brandon and the architects.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we will work with them, but this will be, this will connect once we have the land, the UPS land, so we'll connect all the way.
Yeah, I just want to make sure we didn't.
Yeah, we've been talking with Brandon and others.
And if you look on page 69, you can see where you've got that the master plan there.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jerry.
All right. Do we have consensus to forward this?
Yes.
This is agenda item D, grant applications to fund concrete overlay repairs, WASDOT, National Highway System Asset Management Program, with this being discussion. So, please.
Yeah, so we, Adam and I recently applied to a WASDOT grant application focused on pavement management preservation. There's no local city match, so we have already applied, but wanted to keep you informed with other projects that we're working on, and if funded, we'll come through, we'll come back to ask to accept the award, as well as it'll have to be integrated into the state transportation improvement plan, and will become a CIP page. So wanted to just brief you now that we did apply for this, and that if funded, we'll be back to talk to you more about it. This is to fund pavement overlay at three sites. The first is the Boeing Access Road. This is a lovely chunk of concrete that came off of it. So it's desperately in need of repair. So that one is just about $4 million, and this will fund design and construction. And the second is at Boeing Access, about $4 million, Interurban's about $5 million, and that at Aurelia Road South is about $1.3 million in varying lengths. But yeah, so we recently applied to those, and we'll hear back at the end of November.
So where did this jump in?
It piggybacks into my presentation, but that is from the concrete overlay and Boeing Access Road over the railroad bridge.
Oh.
That's what kind of
part of the bridge deck.
Yeah,
it's part of the bridge deck.
Yeah. So some of this that we've applied for is overlay money. And we're not normally eligible for overlay money. Because most of the overlay grants that are available are through Transportation Improvement Board, and our net worth of the city far exceeds their threshold for being able to apply for overlay money. And our overlay program doesn't have enough money to do some of these significantly larger projects. We just got done talking about overlay. It's about $1 million for construction every year, and you're seeing that these dollars are. So these three locations are eligible for this grant source because they are on the National Highway System. And this is a National Highway System grant that we've sent in these money for. And I think this is some of what Councilmember Kohler's talked about, all this infrastructure money that has been infused recently. And so I think this is why we're seeing this. And this opportunity came up to us very short notice. I mean, we had, a week to put this all together?
A little more than that.
Yeah, but it was pretty shorter notice than we would normally. We'd still probably bring this and let you know we were doing this. But because we do have some larger projects that aren't on the National Highway System that we still are looking to fund. Right now we're focusing, as David had talked about, on some residential areas. But we have other streets in South Center Parkway is a really good example. And that one, at a minimum, is going to take $1 million. So we'd eat up an entire budget. So I know we're really excited to be able to maybe do an entire chunk of overlay on these at one time.
Yeah,
as opposed to trying to piecemeal something.
Just to piggyback on what Cindy is saying, when we did the Boeing Access Road bridge project, we did the seismic upgrade. They didn't pay for the bridge deck. They only paid little amount. So that's why that was done, and it started to peel out right away. They wouldn't give us. We weren't qualified to get a large grant to rebuild the entire deck. So like Cindy said, there are more opportunities now, and we're trying to take advantage of that.
Councilmember Kroll.
So yeah, the federal grants are kind of like, here's all this money. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, now for this and for that, for this, because they're starting to encourage us to go a certain direction. So yeah. This grant is the right thing to do. I just want to understand that we did all the seismological stuff, so anything that wasn't the deck itself,
yeah,
We did.
Yeah, the deck we did, it wasn't built like it should have been.
Yeah.
They just laid a thin layer over it with some rebars.
Yeah.
It started to come right off with the very first car that was going on. We knew it. It wasn't quality work, but that's all the money the grant paid at that time.
Okay.
So he bought us a few years, but now it's time for us to go home.
All right. So I'm good with that. and there's no reason to take, you need to go 3 applications, or could you take all the money and put it into, like, the Boeing Nexus?
We submitted, like, 3 separate applications. Each organization could submit 3. We were originally just talking about Boeing Access Road, and then when we saw that we could submit 3 and there was no match, then we worked with KPG to identify some other
nice
roads that worked and
kind of
pulled together those other applications.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, I have no further questions. Yeah, I think this is great. And, I'm excited to see where it goes.
As far as the 3 locations, and there's numbers attached to it, one's 4 million, one's 5, one's 1.3,
mm-hmm.
is that's what we think it's going to cost to repair, to get those locations up to snuff.
Yep.
And then as far as the grant, about how much grant money do you think, in your estimation, does WashDOT give you for these projects? To the number?
We could have, yeah, it was up to $10 million, but our projects aren't estimated to cost $10 million, so we're asking for exactly those numbers to be, and that will cover design and construction. So that's how, if we're awarded, we'll get that exact dollar amount.
Oh, right on. Now, as far as we did the work, you mentioned something about overlay a couple of years ago. We just didn't walk. We did the work, so why is it like that? What's to stop the next overlay from failing in 5 years?
So, Adam can explain more technical detail, but when bridge overlay is different than street overlay, so you have to dig deeper to make the groove connection.
Mm-hmm.
And since grants weren't paying that much, the original design just included the top layer itself. And the finish, it actually didn't even, we had a hard time passing the inspection at that time. So Department of Transportation, they are the ones who provided the grants. They knew it. They knew when they approved it that it's not going to last any more than maybe 2 or 3 years.
Mm.
And so we definitely got 3-4 years out of it. The construction was completed in 2018. I was here at the time. So Steve Carstens was a bridge engineer at the time we went to walk the bridge. So it did serve its purpose, but more substantial thick paving is what we're paving for right now.
Okay. And so when we do this work, when we anticipate doing this work, are we anticipating doing it in such a way that it's going to last longer than 4 years?
Yes.
5 years.
What is this? I'm pulling up this.
Oh. Adam, you have the details?
Yeah. What's the type of concrete?
It's just
something.
Yeah, so we have availability. One of the biggest drivers of why some of this concrete has failed, and we found this out after WashDOT implemented the specs and design mix for this concrete, is that you have to place this concrete with no traffic on the bridge. The vibrations.
No traffic, not even just one lane over.
Right, no, yeah, because it vibrates the whole thing, and that just creates a little bit of vibration between 2 layers, and that just is what is, the bonding is not all the way there when you have that.
For that particular concrete used years ago.
Yes.
And then when we do this work, whenever we do, we're not using that one, right?
No, we use
it's hard to close that road.
Right. So
very hard to close that road.
Yeah. There's the mix design for a poly mix, which is a polymer mix. You can have, it's a little more tricky. It takes a little bit more skill involved because it's a very fast drying, very quick curing, that we can get that placed and also have live traffic on the structures.
Okay.
And that cost estimate takes into account using that.
The good stuff.
The good stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Exactly.
And how long can we expect the bridge to, these 3 locations to last once we do this anticipated work? About, I won't hold you to the year.
Just give it 20 years.
20 years. Okay. All right. Let's hope we get the money. All right. That was discussion only, so good luck in your venture trying to get that money.
Thanks.
And let us know when you get it. We'd love to hear how are you going to make the magic happen? That'll bring us to business agenda item E, annual bridge inspection and repairs update.
Yes. Thank you, Councilman.
Discussion only.
Discussion only. Similar to what we, this was done in March of this year due to some delays in WASHDOT data sources to implement these bridges, but they are 2023 inspections done this year, majority of them in April. We have a total of 14 of our 24 bridges inspected. Of those 14 inspections, we had 13 of them were just a generic routine every 2 year inspection. We received one annual inspection. Of those 14, five of those were UBIT, which is under bridge inspection truck, which is a specialty type of inspection that we get done every four to six years, depending on the structure. We had two fracture critical inspections, which is a inspection that happens every 2 years. It's a very detailed inspection for that type of structure. And then one thing that we kind of had was one significant finding with the overlay of the Boeing axis over the BNR railroad. So that was the table, and the memo illustrates all the inspections we had, the dates we had them inspected. We only had one inspection of a pedestrian bridge, which is the 119th Street Bridge in Allentown. Had that also inspected this year. So as far as the one finding, it was the one we worked for to get the grant sources. That was really all the results of the inspections that we saw this year. And they're illustrated in the bridge inspection report if you wanted to do a deep dive into the results. Two major things that we had happen this year as well is that the Foster Point Bridge or 51st Street Bridge over by the railroad, or sorry, by the golf course, had a tree fall on it with the bridge rail getting damaged. That has been fixed, painted, and you can see in the photographs the results of that fixture, as well as going forward with a new bridge inspection mandatory by the FHWA or Federal Highway Administration. They are going to be removing the sufficiency rating as a grading guide for bridges. And they'll be moving into a SNBI, which is a really bad name, but SNBI is the destructive way of inventorying the bridges. So if you have any questions, I could really get into details on why they're doing this, but it may be easier for a specific question on why I can answer. But the result of our bridges, as you can see in the quick guide, is that majority of them are in good shape, above 50 plus. We only have the one, which is the 42nd, which we're still in design process of replacing. And everything is looking really good through our infrastructure throughout the city. So with that, I can answer any questions regarding what we found, what we're going moving forward, and yeah, it's open forum.
So I'm on page 86. That's a little color column in the middle of the chart. And so what I'm seeing is the Foster Bridge was yellow, the Boeing Access Bridge was yellow, and the 42nd Avenue Bridge, which we're replacing, is orange. Assuming that the darker it gets, you know, yellow, the worse it is.
The severity or the efficiency rating is lower as far as those color codings.
So do you think you've changed it from yellow on the Foster 56 one yet?
Yeah, that one was interesting, and that one was kind of lower because of a scour concern. We had a plan of action put together for that. A scour is when some of the piers or abutments that hold the structure up, the dirt gets out from underneath, like those areas.
Scouring out by the river.
So we went out and had actually a watershed engineering do a plan of action for that structure. Turns out the scour that was observed was for transient use of people walking up and down the bank, and it undermined some of the wind walls. So we have a plan of action put in place for any scour mitigation for that structure. And the scour that was observed in the report, which gets in processing the number that you see here, just saw scour, and that was what kicked that off. So we are The scour we observed is above the water high water mark, so it's not a water issue. It's just more of a soils and trends in for people going up and down the hillside there. So that will actually increase a little bit once they wash it, accepts that plan of action.
Yeah, I know your page 86 is kind of hard to read, but if you look at 87, it says the bridges that are recommended for replacement, and page 88 has bridges recommended for major maintenance, and then posted bridges are on 89, and bridges that need minor repair, like the rail lift of it, are on the next page. That will give you an idea of in the degree of severity and what we need to address.
My one last question is, where is that? So it's 119th on the pedestrian bridge. I can't tell.
You're
at the epoxy layer thing again.
On page 88, South 119th pedestrian bridge, painting epoxy entire structure with possible rock repair as encountered.
Yeah.
And so it's recommended for major maintenance.
Yes. Yes, next year. We have the CIP.
There, tell them. By summer of 24?
Yes, it's in the CIP project to have the fundings available for next year.
Okay.
So we're currently starting to get the process going on talking to contractors and finding out what repairs need to be done to the rot that's been observed on that structure.
Yeah, that's pretty bad. Before they put epoxy over it, and it was lumpy and squishy and things give and they vibrate when you walk on them. Is this one going to strip it all out, repair the rot, and then put epoxy on top of it so we actually have a smooth surface for people to walk on? It doesn't literally pink county. Pink conservation district split us into threes to cross that bridge. They were so afraid of what it was looking like to go look at Amonetti's yard.
Right.
And that's pretty embarrassing, when
right.
you get a busload of people and they're all elected in here. Sitting them three at a time, and they're all looking at you like, "Hey, am I going to be okay?" So I'll go first.
Right.
So there's no problem. People are honest all the time.
Yeah, we have enough money to do major repairs. It's definitely not enough money to replace.
Yeah.
Our goal will be to work with contractors and try and get the best out of the bridge.
So not replacing the bridge. I get it. And there's a lot of good bones there. What I'm hoping is that you rip out whatever plywood and junk that's underneath there that's got little planks with missing holes and you can turn your ankle in it that's been slathered with this epoxy we've been hanging on for X number of years. It'd be nice if you could walk across it in a smooth surface, safe for a wheelchair kind of thing.
So, again, staff will come back to you once we have a better idea of cost estimate, once we have an understanding of what needs to be replaced. We'll come back to you and, obviously we need your contract, but we need more money and we have more options. We'll bring it back to you.
Okay. We'll go try to grow some money trees on the way.
Councilman Brown, please.
Yes. In terms of the, going back to page 86, how you guys have the color coding, the green, the yellow, and the orange.
Mm-hmm.
So for the suspicion rating, at what number does it need to be in order for it to be above?
Yeah,
that makes sense.
How
low can it still be green?
I believe it's printed off.
Because I see it's something as low as 69. So I'm just like, I wonder what the threshold. Oh, sorry, 49.
Yeah, we just kind of, the color coding is something we implemented for just a very quick reference on what the sufficiency rating bridges are. I do know that we just kind of picked a number that once you get to about 50, that's when you can start applying for grants. Anything above 50, they will not allow you to apply for any. They federal or even state thinks that your structure is good enough not to apply for grants.
So the color doesn't tell me condition of the bridge. It just means that I can get money for that if it's in that condition. Is that what you're saying?
I was thinking the same thing. Yeah, is that
like,
yeah?
Like it doesn't mean like yellow. I mean, there are these three that you gave us something in color, so we're gonna identify the color. So we're assuming like yellow is not great, but orange. Watch out for orange, right? So does that mean like the color just tells anyone who's in your department that hey, these ones are big ticket ones that we could probably get grant money for.
Something we can focus on.
Okay, yeah. No, that's a great question. That's exactly what my question is going on to, you know, because when I first read this, I'm thinking, is it more so the condition? But I guess it's just, you know, what you guys are, you know, looking into more. Because, yeah, I'm trying to remember, like, when I first got into council, 42nd Bridge was the first thing, that's the first thing that was in my agenda when I first got in, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I knew, obviously, it was in a bad condition, which is why, you know, we're focusing on it right now as a project. But I just wondered, like, in terms of condition, what do you guys usually, what's your metric, or how do you guys measure that? Like, does it have to be anything below a 6 out of 10, or is it 7? Like, you know, do you guys have a metric in terms of condition you guys look at?
So as part of the brick inspection, there is some coding guides that we put, and the inspector puts into a computer system. And so these numbers that are calculated are from National Bridge Inventory, which is who created the formula to create this number. So it's, we don't make these numbers up. The inspector puts his inspection results into a computer database, and then they run the numbers and they spit out this number.
Yeah, but is there like a frequent, is there like a common number, or is at each bridge like a different grading system? For example, like, let's say a 42nd Bridge was, you have to rate it between 1 to 10, but is it different metrics in terms of each individual bridge, or do they all go under the same type of?
It's encompassed by one inspection base. So these numbers, each individual bridge doesn't get its own specific measuring system. The whole bridges throughout the United States get the same measurement tool to give you a number that you're seeing here.
Okay. But each type of bridge has different things that you're inspecting.
Yes. There's steel, yeah. There's concrete, there's all different types of structures, but they all will eventually get the number produced here.
The low number itself doesn't mean we're going to shut the bridge down. Right. Like Allentown, our bridge in Allentown, 42nd, is around 7, and the steel mill bridge is like 4 something. They're both open. Department of Transportation kept the bridge open. The trucks are going on. So it's, like Adam mentioned, it comes from your entire bridge structure. It will take into account your piers, your deck, your abutment. It is a very complex calculation. So I encourage not to focus on the rank itself. Rank could be high, but there could be something inherently wrong with the bridge that they would ask us to shut down immediately. It's a comprehensive inspector's report, and their notes are more important than this fixing yourself on the number.
That makes sense. I appreciate that. Last question I had is, you talked about the UBIT inspection. So how often is that done?
It's usually every 4 to 6 years, depending on the structure and what they find. It's a specialty inspection that we have performed. The 42nd Bridge gets a UBIT every 2 years because it's fracture critical. The bridges that we see get the UBIT every 4 to 6. This year was a little bit, we had a really, 5 UBIT inspections is relatively high. We only usually have 1 or 2 every year. And then this one was obviously another part that made it a little more difficult is that we had to do a UBIT on the Boeing access road over railroad bridge. And that required flaggers from DNSF and coordination with the railroad, coordination with WSDOT, coordination with SDOT, because they're there UBIT. So it just was a lot of intricacies to get those UBIT inspections done.
Okay. I appreciate that. Thank you. Yeah, I'm looking forward to the next update. Stacey.
Mm-hmm. So I want to focus on the chart again. I have to ask, it's staring me in the face. It says FO under some of these. It says FO stands for indicates bridge structure is functionally obsolete. It's defined by the WSDOT inspection program. This designation only indicates a roadway geometrics that do not meet current standards for bridge design. That sounds like important. I don't know. Tell me what that means.
That means that when the structure was made, the specs were different. And then when the specs changed, that didn't meet the current specs. And so that considers it functionally obsolete. Like, as I say, when they built the bridge and back in the 40s, they had 10-foot wide lanes. Now the WSDOT bridge manual says you have to have 12-foot wide lanes, So now that bridge is functionally obsolete because it doesn't have the current standard.
So it doesn't mean that it's just like an ornament now. People can still use the bridge.
Yeah, okay. I just want to make sure.
And I think focusing on the functional is more important than
well,
the
Well, it says functionally.
I know. It is kind of a bridge
I walk on, right?
Yeah,
so I get it.
But
and then it says fracture critical under one of them, Tuckwoolen 20. What does fracture critical mean?
So fracture critical is the way you define a structure when there is no load path redundancy. This means,
so
fracture critical means is a good example is the Skagit bridge on I-5. So when one member of that structure was hit, there was no way for the loading of that structure to get back to the abutments.
You hit one member and it falls down.
Yes. There's no way for it to reevaluate or spread out that load to get to the foundation. And so if you hit that one member, the bridge would fall. Or if you compromise that one member, the bridge would fall.
So is that 180th Street Trail bridge, is that bad?
No, it just means that when you get fracture critical, it means you just get a more sophisticated inspection every 2 years to help. A lot of trusses are fracture critical just because that's the way they designed back in the 50s when they used
40, trusses. Yeah, 42nd Avenue was a fracture critical bridge, which we are living with right now because if a member was hit, it didn't completely compromise it. Okay. Thankfully, the bridge didn't fall down. But because of that restriction, because of this type of bridge, and Adam is talking about the energy that, you know, the piers hold it all up and there's all of the connection stuff, whether it's above or below, is what gets that weight onto those piers. Mm-hmm. And so that fracture critical one goes, you have that potential of that full collapse.
We the engineers never drive on fracture critical.
Good to know. We won't drive the vehicle over that. And then the one last question I have is the Grady Way Tuckwilla 08 jointly owned by the city of Renton. So how does the city's marry whose turn it is to put in money, or do we take an estimate and I say you owe me this amount?
So we have jointly owned two bridges, one with Kent in the 196-200, and we have Grady Way. Grady Way with City of Renton, we have a contract where we kind of just split right down the middle. Mm-hmm. So when they did the inspection this year, the inspector charged us half and they charged Renton half. So that's how the Grady Way operates. With the 196-200 Street Bridge that we have an ILA with the City of Kent that says we're responsible for this and then responsible for that. And that kind of also lines up with they're in charge of the maintenance of the like street sweeping, plowing, and all that information, and we're in charge of the engineering studies for that structure. So that's how we kind of like handshake it into a paper.
Do you have some deal arrangement where it's fair for both?
Yes.
Was there any other questions?
What are all these blank ones that don't have colors and haven't been inspected yet?
Those are pedestrian bridges.
Oh, okay.
So they don't receive a. They're not nationally recognized as a.
They don't get a color.
They don't get a color number.
Pick a color for them just to make them feel
more. Riveting discussion about bridges.
Yeah.
So if there's no miscellaneous, I will call this meeting adjourned by 6:23.
Yes.
So
thank you, guys.